Well, good evening again. For all of those who are able, find your place in Ephesians chapter 5. We are down to verse 7. Something funny about Ephesians 5:7 says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's been a great day. We're thankful for all that you've done already. Looking forward to what you're going to do tonight now as we're together again in your house. Father, I pray that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done here. I pray, Father, again, you'd put the very words in my mouth to preach. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear. And I pray, Father, that we would be willing to share the things that we learn with those out in this world that need the truth of the gospel. And I pray, Father, that many would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of what you're doing. We're looking forward to it now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we must not fellowship with people involved in these sins. Well, which sins? Well, the ones we've named already. The stuff we've already gone over. If you don't know what that is, you need to go back up and read through the chapter and all. We are not to be partakers with them. We're not to fellowship with them. We're not to be involved in these sins with them. People say, well, how am I going to reach them if I don't? Well, if we do, we could be guilty by association. Is that what we want? We're supposed to be ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do we want to be guilty by association with people who are involved in these sins? See, a lot of people say, well, I didn't actually do it. Well, you were there with them when it happened. Guilty by association, right? Did you stop them from doing what they were doing? No. You were a partaker in what they were doing, therefore you're guilty by association. You spent time with them. God tells us pretty plainly how we're to behave. The things we're supposed to avoid. The things that are okay, right? And then he also has commands that we are to do whether we want to do them or not. We don't like that part, right? We don't like anyone telling us what we have to do. We like him giving us choices. But God's got some commands. He tells us what we're supposed to do. And he expects us to do it. It's strange how the ways of the sinner seem to be picked up more readily than the ways of the saint when they fellowship together. I've said for years, you can fellowship with those involved in gross sins, and you're not going to bring them up out of it. They're going to bring you down into it. It's just the way it works. But I'm stronger than that. You think you are. Be careful. Be careful. It's easy to say we wouldn't do those things, but then when we get caught in the middle of it, what happens? We end up being dragged down with them. In a final warning, Paul says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Do not join in the world in its evil," he says. "Do not be partakers with them in wickedness." Don't get involved in that. Instead, be partners with Jesus Christ in righteousness. Do the opposite, right? Don't imitate the world, but rather be imitators of God. As beloved children, imitate God and not the evil and wicked doers out there. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." As dear children. Walk as children of the light. We'll see this in Ephesians 5 verses 8 through 16. We are to live as the light of the world for Christ by living in the light of Christ. People say, well, that's hard to do. Yeah, because the flesh doesn't want to. So we have to die to self daily and let Christ live through us. It's amazing. Those messages that Brother McCracken preached over at Foundation Baptist Church, and they should be online in their Facebook feed, amazing. Amazing messages. How to be in Christ. How to be filled with the Spirit. Being in Christ. Amazing messages. And if you get an opportunity, look them up and listen to them. Amazing. And it can happen if we don't let, he called him Mr. Con Carne, the carnal side of Mr. Con Carne, if we don't let him win, we can submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be filled with the Spirit. And we can live that victorious Christian life. But we have to die to self to do that. We live as the light of the world for Christ by living in the light of Christ. As I said, look at verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Darkness and light. Darkness describes the character of the life of the unconverted as void of truth and virtue in intellectual and moral matters. We have an issue with people that are so far on one side of the issues, and we wonder, what's the big deal? Well, folks, they're living in darkness. And we wonder why, how they can live such an immoral life. They're living in darkness. They don't have the light. People say, yeah, but there are some people on that side that are living a more moral life than the others. I get that. But let me tell you this. There are some people on the other side of that that are supposedly born-again believers that are living on both sides of that equation too. So we can't just put that out there. But those who don't know Christ as their own personal Savior, they're living in darkness. They need the light. We need to be that light in this dark world. God's children need to be a light in this world. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Oops. 1 John chapter 1, sorry. I was thinking that didn't sound right. All right. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. We are to walk in the light. We are to be that light in this dark world. Jesus came as the light of the world. He gives us the opportunity to be lights in this world, and we need to do that. The realm of darkness is presided over by the power of darkness. Look at Luke 22:53. Luke 22:53 says, when I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Who rules those who are headed for outer darkness? Well, we can find that in a few verses here. Look at Matthew 8:12. Matthew 8:12 says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And 2 Peter 2:17. Chapter 2, verse 17, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever." Tragically, sinners love the darkness. Why do they like darkness? Because darkness covers their sin. They think, right? They think that, well, I do it under the cloak of darkness. And I've said many times that it used to be when people were going to rob someone, they'd do it in the cloak of darkness of night. Now they'll do it in broad daylight. They're just more and more brazen. It just doesn't seem to bother them at all. In fact, when I was talking to a Spokane Valley police officer, he said, most of your break-ins in houses occur between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., I thought, well, that's kind of a weird time frame. So that's when kids are in school and mom and dad are at work. I said, well, that's good. You just announced that to all these people. Now everybody knows when the best time to go do a break-in is, right? But the police know that too. So do you think they're watching for that? Yes, they're watching for that. But 10 to 2, I mean, that's like the brightest part of the day, isn't it? Especially this time of the year when the sun comes up at, what, 4:30, 4 o'clock, whatever time. I mean, it's sometime before. I know it's shining in the window when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm looking out and I'm thinking, it's too early for this. It's time to go back to sleep, right? And some of you, I know, have to get up and go to work. Praise the Lord, I don't have that issue at 4 a.m., I'm very appreciative of that. I did that for some years. Look at John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. John 3, starting in verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." It is that very darkness from which salvation in Christ delivers sinners. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, John 8:12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We don't have to walk in darkness. Jesus gives us that light. In Matthew 4:16, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Darkness indicates that they used to be spiritually unenlightened, and accompanying this ignorance with immorality, with its resultant guilt and misery. See, we wonder why people act the way they do. They're in darkness. That's why. You know, it should be no big, massive secret to us that these people are in darkness. That's why they act the way they do. They don't know the truth. They don't have the light. And we see all these, and we pick on politicians because they're easy to pick. They're a good target, right? We see what they do and the immoral lives that they live, And we think, why do they do that? Because they're in darkness. And I had somebody tell me one time that all of our elected officials are saved. I said, really? Really? Then why don't they act like it? Because they certainly act like they're following the devil. Well, they go to church. Well, gee, I stand in my garage sometimes. I'm not a car. You know, I mean, give me a break, folks. If you are saved, you're supposed to act like it. If you are a child of the light, then walk in the light. People who are in darkness walk in that darkness. And it should be obvious that they need the Savior. Light. This denotes that the recipients are now to be religiously or spiritually informed. Their knowledge of the truth is attended by moral purity and happiness. Before we came to Christ, our total existence, our being, as well as our behavior, was characterized by darkness. There was no other aspect to our spiritual life than that of darkness. There's no other choice. You don't have the light. What's the choice? Light or darkness? So if you don't have the light, you're in darkness. And yet they don't know that they're in darkness because they don't know the light. We say, we just don't get it. And I've been guilty of that same thing. I said, I just don't understand these people. Well, we should, right? Because we have the Word of God that tells us that this is how they're going to act. Because they're without Christ. People say, well, you can't say that. The Bible says, I shall know by their fruit. Their fruit proves that they're walking in darkness, which means they belong to Satan. Because they either belong to God or they belong to Satan. That's the choices, folks. We don't have a middle ground there. It's either one or the other. And by the way, you can't serve both. God told us very plainly, we can only have one master, because we can't serve two masters. We were children of darkness and sons of disobedience. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 6. Where it says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We were not simply victims of Satan's system, but we were contributors to it. Yeah. That's kind of hard to take when you're on this side of salvation, right? And you're going, wait a minute, I wasn't contributing to that. Yes, you were. Yes, I was. When we were children of darkness, we were contributing to Satan's stuff. We were enemies of God. That's even harder to swallow, right? How could I have one day been an enemy of God and now today I love Him and I want to serve Him, right? Well, that's the new birth. That's what happens. We become a totally different person. We're not merely in our sin. Our very nature was characterized by sin. It's difficult even for Christians to imagine that the law, abiding, decent, and pleasant unbelievers we run into every day are children of Satan. It's hard to believe that because there are people that are living pretty moral lives. In fact, some of them will put those professing to know Christ to shame. And yet we think, man, how could they, living a life like they do, be a child of Satan? But that's what it is. Without Christ, that's who they serve. Whether they like it or not, that's the truth is the truth. every person is either a child of the devil or a child of God. We have a choice. And we get to choose which side we want to be on. God draws us to Him, and He gives us a choice. Do you want to follow your father, the devil, or do you want to follow God? Pretty simple. There are no other kinds of spiritual childhood, although there obviously are degrees in both kinds as far as lifestyle is concerned, but the unbelieving, well-dressed, sophisticated philanthropist will spend eternity apart from God in the same hell as the demon serving witch doctor. Apart from God, it doesn't matter. God says you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you stay on the path you were born into, which is the path that leads to hell, and eventually the lake of fire. God's word is very clear. It doesn't matter how good you are. And I've had people say, well, you know, I know of all the people in the world, this one person is such a great person and they do so much to help people and all. There's no way that God won't let them in heaven. Okay, somewhere in that should have been, they came to the end of themselves, realized that they were a sinner in need of a Savior, and they cried out to Jesus Christ for salvation. But that wasn't part of the message that they relayed to me. This person is so good, they do so many great things for people, they have to be allowed into heaven. No, they don't. Because without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you're not getting in. Not happening. People say, but that's just, I don't care. If you have an argument with that, take it up with God. I didn't make the rules. He just called me to preach them. It's like, don't shoot the messenger story, right? I'm just the messenger. Thank God. I didn't write it. I just preach it. Walking in darkness is the condition of everyone before they come to the light of Jesus Christ. And in verses 8 through 14, the focus is on our imitating God in relation to light. As the Bible tells us, light does away with darkness. It's amazing. That's why we have electricity, right? Because you can go over and you can flip the switch and the darkness flees. It's amazing. I love it. No more stubbed toes because you ran into something that you didn't know was there because it was so dark that you didn't see it. Turn the light on, everything becomes apparent. You are the light of the world, Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. Because we now share Christ's own nature, we share in His light. Notice I've never once said that it's our light, because it's not. It's His light. And He allows us to share in that when we become a child of God. Just as He is the light of the world, John 8:12, His people are also the light of the world. Because we are in the Lord, we who were once children of darkness are now children of light, and it is as such children that we should walk. We need to walk in the fullness and fruits of the Spirit, discerning what pleases the Lord. Look at Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The three supreme characteristics or fruit of our walk as children of light are all goodness and righteousness and truth. These are the tests of true faith, of a true saving relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. A decision for Christ, church membership, faithful attendance at worship services, being baptized, financial support of the Lord's work, and many other such things are often used as evidence of salvation. Now, let me throw this out. Can people go through all of that and still be lost? Of course they can. I believe that happens all the time. I believe that there's people that know so much about how to walk in the light, even though they are in darkness, that they can put on a great show and make people believe that they're saved when they're not. People know the lingo. They have studied it. They know how to talk. They know what to tell you to make you think that they are saved, even when they're not. It's interesting how they know so much about the truth, but they don't want the truth. Yes, the faithful Christian should do all these things, but they are behaviors that are easily done in the flesh and are therefore unreliable in themselves as evidence. On the other hand, the three characteristics Paul mentions here are spiritual works that cannot be achieved in the flesh. The all in this verse reflects the perfection of the divine standard. The goodness used here is like agape love that finds its fullest and highest expression in that which is willingly and sacrificially done for others. I tell you, it's hard to believe that somebody knows the Lord when it's all about them all the time. The Bible teaches us that it's about others. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and putting others before ourselves. That's not easy to do in the flesh, folks, because this flesh wants to be first. This flesh wants all the glory, honor, and praise. This flesh doesn't want to give up anything. So to do that, you have to walk in the Spirit. You have to say, I'm nothing, and I need to be willing to let others be first. That's hard to do, right? All you have to do is be out in the world a little bit. They'll have a checkout at the grocery store, and it'll be like 12 aisles long, right? They'll open up the next one, and somebody will just walk from the back right up and go right out. When it should be the next person who's been waiting all that time should be the next one to check out, right? But it's not about others. It's about me. I want to be first, right? I don't know how many people do this. I think it's only right. I've got a cart full of groceries. The person comes up behind me, they've got one item. I say, why don't you go first? Because you'll be done by the time I get this on the belt. So you go first. And some will say, no, that's all right. I'll wait my turn. And it's like, no, really, I don't have a problem with it. I want you to go first. Now, let's not think I'm so spiritual. I'd go all the way 12 aisles down and say, why don't you guys all go first and I'll take the end of the line after I've already waited in line. That would make like zero sense, right? But somebody might do that. I don't know. But it's not about us. It's about others. We need to be willing to put others first. We need to be willing to put the Lord Jesus Christ first, which then would make us think on Him, and what would He do? He would put others first. The second test is righteousness, and has to do, first of all, with our relationship to God. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Ephesians, just over in chapter 4 and verse 24, says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at Philippians, it's just another book over, 3:9. Philippians 3:9, where it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You just heard a lot about faith on Thursday night. Faith. But righteousness also has to do with how we live. Those who are made righteous are commanded to live righteously, to present themselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yeah. We're supposed to live a specific way so that people will see that we belong to Him. People will just know, right? I find it like the highest compliment when somebody says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I'm like, wow. What did I do that triggered that, right? I mean, I want to know what I'm... Don't you want to know? How do they know that? Because I'm thinking I'm just being me. So how do you know that? I could just tell. Wow, that's God. God revealed that to him. Thank God for that. But we should be walking in a way that people would see that there's something different about us. Because we're not like those who are living in darkness. The third test is truth, which has to do with honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, and integrity in contrast to the hypocritical, deceptive, and false ways of the old life of darkness. That's why I've said, we who know the Savior should be truthful in all our dealings. I don't care what they are. People say, well, you can be truthful in everything but business. What? It's not like a switch you turn on and off. You're either truthful or you're not. Are you honest with everybody? Are you reliable? I know some people that are highly unreliable. And every time people count on them, they let them down. It's like, why do you count on somebody who's unreliable? They've proven themselves over and over and over. They're unreliable. And that you keep giving them opportunities to prove to you they're unreliable. It just doesn't make sense. You know they're unreliable. God's children should be reliable. You say you're going to do something, do it. Say you're going to be somewhere, be there. Trustworthiness and integrity. Integrity. We should be known as people of integrity. I was talking to a guy the other day as I was at his place of business, and someone came in and he needed some help. He was back with another patient, and I just said, I'd be happy to help this lady who came in, and she asked questions, and I told her what I knew. Then I told him, I said, I didn't want to snoop through the office area to find what she was looking for because I just don't feel right doing that. And he said to me, he said, you're one of the most trustworthy people I know. Help yourself. He said, you're doing me a favor by answering somebody who came in off the streets questions about my practice because my gal's out sick and I'm in the back doing an adjustment. He says, I don't know anyone more trustworthy than you. Have at it. And I said, well, I just feel weird going through somebody else's stuff looking for something when I didn't ask first. So I didn't. I went down the hall and waited for him to come out of the room, and I asked him, can I ask you a quick question? And he said, you got a lady out here, and she's got some questions, and she needs a brochure. I don't know where they're at. I don't need one. I've been coming here. So he told me where they were at. I went and got her one and finished talking to her. She says, it's not for me, it's for a friend of mine. She says, I'm seeing another chiropractor where I live. I'm from out of the area. But my friend who's closer, I need her to get here because he can do for her what my chiropractor is doing for me because they use the same technique. I said, praise the Lord. So I gave her my testimony of what he's done in my life. And she said, I can't wait to get this information to her. And off she went. He says, most people wouldn't take the initiative to help. Why not? We should be known as trustworthy people in this world. People should be able to see that in our lives. Without that fruit, the three tests, there is no evidence of the life of God. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Jesus warned, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. You will know them by their fruits. Every person bears fruit of some kind. Those who are in darkness bear bad fruit, and those who are light bear good fruit. The person who does not bear some fruit of righteousness in the life has no claim on Christ. There should be some righteousness in your life. It shouldn't be like I have to get the microscope out to find it. But unfortunately, some people that profess to know Christ, I almost have to do that. The complete absence of any fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth proves the complete absence of salvation. You say, you can't say that. Well, God says by their fruit. If there's no fruit that proves that they're saved, I have to assume they're not. Could I be wrong? Yeah. They could be so backslidden that there's no evidence of anything in their life but darkness. They could be there, I guess. God won't let them stay there. All right. We'll end there for tonight. Father,